Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, the big four of performance communications, part one. Questions this cast answers are, how can I ease in to giving feedback? What topics should I be giving feedback on? And what kinds of performance conversations should I be having? If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Hey folks, it's that time of the year when individuals are leaving jobs, moving to new roles, looking for new opportunities. And what that means is we may be talking to a person looking for tools to help them get a new job. We've got on our website a tool called the Interview Series. The Interview Series gives you podcasts, videos, questions to help you prepare in order to ensure when you're interviewing, you're given the best possible opportunities. It's on our website, manager-tools.com/products. We've talked about this so many times. It's hilarious almost. Even though managers, we know we're supposed to be giving feedback. We know it's our job to have performance communication conversations. It doesn't mean we don't struggle. I mean, all managers struggle at some point in their career, if not currently, giving more feedback. So we're going to talk in today's cast, or I suppose the series of casts that we're kicking off today, we're going to talk about the most common and effective topics to focus on, and a way to introduce performance into your conversations so that those of us who struggle with feedback can ease our way in to the delivery of it.
Mm-hmm. In terms of what that means and like what order we're going to cover things, we're going to talk about avoiding wickedness, beginning to talk about performance communication, introducing the big four, quality of work, timeliness, communication, and relationships. So we're going to start with the premise of avoiding wickedness, which is going to, it's not what you think. We introduced the topic of wickedness in an executive tools podcast in 2022, which was last year. And we've been asked about it extensively since then.
I can't remember what podcast we talked about this in, Kate, but we talked a little bit about wickedness in one of our previous Manager Tools casts as well.
Right. And when we're talking about wickedness, it probably a lot of people listening are already thinking about negative feedback. And so your perception of wickedness in this context might be different than what we're actually hoping to share with you. The excerpt from that cast talks about, you know, psychologists and what they call a system without feedback. They call, psychologists do, a scenario in which a human subject is expected to perform a task, but is specifically and actively denied any information about the effectiveness or efficiency of their performance or its usefulness beyond that activity. They call that a wicked environment.
Yeah.
So it's actually, there's clinical, technical terminology associated with systems in which humans are denied performance communication.
That's super messed up. I mean, that is super messed up. If you've ever wondered why organizational cultures constantly need to be improved and seemingly never, ever improve, that, folks, that would be your answer. Employees learn that the continued absence of feedback is intentional, and they begin to see their environment as wicked. Because, and I mean, we're not intentionally trying to rob people feedback, but everyone knows at some level that they could be getting it. They know they're not getting it. And therefore, that is on purpose by design. Managers are choosing not to give people feedback that they know would be reasonably expected. And the intentional absence of that is basically wickedness.
And we're not suggesting, y'all, that you are trying to be wicked.
You're not.
We're suggesting their perception of your behavior is a wicked environment that, you know, I understand. A lot of people explain to me a lot, oh, this is why I don't give feedback. Here's all the reasons I don't do it. And I understand all of those reasons are valid. It's the interpretation of that lack of feedback that is viewed as a wicked environment because they know it could be happening. And we as managers, I believe people opt out of it on purpose. They make a decision not to do it. Managers do.
The thing that I think about when I think about when we're talking about this, Kate, the silliest part of it all is the vast majority of managers that I talk to report they don't give people feedback because they're trying to be kind.
It's irony.
Ridiculous. Exactly. It's completely ironic. It's, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to make them feel bad. I don't want to cause them to be unhappy about their role in the organization. We're doing all of these things because we want to be nice and we're actually doing something that is really harmful.
Mm-hmm. It's so ineffective and even dangerous, managers failing to give feedback to corporate culture. It's morally bad,
mm-hmm.
bordering on evil.
Yeah. Now, I mean, that was a really, really sad setup. I mean, it's a very somber tone we've set here so far. So good to know there is hope.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we've been contributing to the wickedness in our organizations, all of that's in the past. I mean, today is a new day. What do they say? The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. And mm-hmm. if you didn't plant it 20 years ago, plant it today. Today is the best time. We can't do anything about yesterday. What we can do is make a new commitment, even if it's yet another commitment, which we've made before because we've said to ourselves a million times, oh, I'm going to start giving feedback and then not done it. We can make a new commitment again today to start giving our drafts the feedback that they want and that they deserve.
Mm-hmm. We understand, we hear all the time from managers about the fears they have, the concerns they have, the reasons they don't give feedback. And if you are still hesitating, I want to recall your mind to the middleman test.
Such a good one. Love this one.
It's a great podcast. Ask yourself, using the middleman test, don't you want feedback from your boss about how you're doing? Don't you want to know your current status? Don't you want more acknowledgement of your contributions? Don't you want professional, respectful candor when things don't go very well?
Uh-huh.
If the answer to that is yes, that is what I would like, and I'm suspicious that that is what people who are listening yes. want, then why would you inflict upon your directs the same thing that your boss is doing to you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why would you? Why would you put your directs in a situation? Sometimes we talk about the idea of you don't have to be the same boss that you have. And if you dream of a world where bosses are better, you can be that boss. And we totally understand, like Sarah said, you believe you're being kind.
You do.
In fact, you are inflicting upon them a wickedness. And now that you know the perception, which you also, if you apply the middleman test again, you feel that way about the way your boss treats you, right? You feel badly about the way your boss treats you when not giving you this input, in which case you're experiencing it from both sides.
Yeah.
You don't have to inflict it on the people who work for you the way that your manager might be inflicting it on you.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. So step number one in all of this, we're going to start talking about performance. First off, though, I mean, as people who know we should have been giving more feedback than we've been given up until now, let's let ourselves off the hook. We can't do anything about it. We're going to get over it. We're going to turn a new leaf. And I mean, we can regret it all we want, but it doesn't change anything. And all it does is make us more disappointed in ourselves, thus making the fact that we failed up until now a demotivator. We got to try and forgive ourselves and make a new commitment to ending the wickedness that we probably have to admit that we've been contributing to. And mm-hmm. for many Manager Tools community members, you've tried the feedback model, the Manager Tools four-part feedback model. Can I give you some feedback when you do this behavior? Here's what happens. Thank you. Or can you do that differently? And we know many of the folks in the Manager Tools community tried the feedback model and stopped using it. And many of us just need some help.
Mm-hmm.
We need a method to turn over that new leaf.
Right. Some of the things that we hear from managers about this process over the years is that we struggle moving from one-on-ones into feedback. Feedback's the second step.
Yeah.
Because they previously hadn't ever talked to their directs about their performance.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't part of the norm to do so. So to go from never having talked about it, other than in performance reviews, straight into the structure of the manager tools feedback model with all four parts may have seemed like too much.
Mm-hmm. For some a little of you. Jarring. We mm-hmm. disagree, but it feels that way to a lot of people. So we get it.
Right. Hundreds of thousands of managers used it and they did fine.
Mm-hmm.
And since our mission is to make every manager effective, not just some, we've got some adaptations, helpful things for you to do.
Ways to ease in.
Right. And the first, a toe in the water. The first thing almost any manager can do without having to tackle the feedback model is just start talking about performance.
Mm-hmm.
Just start having those discussions rather than going from not mentioning performance straight into the feedback model. Let's simply introduce the idea of performance comments and normalize the idea of performance as something that we talk about, that we discuss, that we are verbalizing. Then we can segue much more easily into the feedback model by just beginning these conversations.
Yeah.
So once you're having, like, if you start to talk about performance, you start to have these conversations. When you start to use the feedback model, it will be simply a transition of the conversation into a different format or series of words.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked before about this staging. I want to say this ramping up to those conversations in a couple of our podcasts. I mean, we talked about peer feedback or the peer feedback model and the starter feedback model. But to many folks, many managers, even those less structured models are a little more structured than you want. The peer feedback model eliminates the ask, the first question. That is, instead of saying, can I give you some feedback, instead says, hey, I don't know if you know this, but when you do that, it's really helpful. Right? It's not a question so much as it's a statement. Or, I'm not sure if you knew this, but when you do X, it makes things harder. I thought you'd want to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a statements versus questions. The starter feedback model has the question in step one, but for the negative, eliminates asking for a change in behavior. So for instance, can I give you some feedback? When you do that, it's a problem. Just wanted to let you know. Mm-hmm. Thought that might be helpful.
And there's maybe even a more mild on-ramp for feedback, which is simply talking mm-hmm. about performance.
Having conversations.
Right. The topic not being something that we avoid would be a change for a lot of us. You can talk about the team's performance. In fact, it's your job. You can mention effectiveness or efficiency stats. You can share productivity reporting that you send up to your boss with the team. It doesn't have to be couched as requiring behaviors to change. In fact, in these discussions, we're not trying to drive behavior. We're trying to make team and individual performance part of the normal routine communications that happen on your team and in your organization.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you'll notice when you start doing this is that you will start becoming more aware of performance in different forms. When that happens, you can start mentioning simple things you've noticed. And your conversations about it will highlight for you things that maybe you weren't looking for prior.
Yeah.
You'll start to, it's like if, oh, you're looking for this car and suddenly you want that car. Okay. Suddenly you see that car everywhere.
Yeah.
And you'll notice these things and you can say, I noticed you had a good answer to that question about the ops budget. Thanks. I noticed you were late with your weekly report. Keep on top of that if you can. I heard you were really helpful to our visitors. Well done. These are all examples of simple mentions and communications around performance.
Exactly. Because going back to kind of something we talked a little bit about, Kate, for many of us, we tell ourselves that we're okay with giving feedback, mm-hmm. but it's our directs who aren't ready to get it, right? We don't want to hurt their feelings. We would give it, but we're afraid they don't want it. And that's usually not really accurate, but it doesn't matter. These are stories that we tell ourselves. Mm-hmm. So why not ask our directs what parts of their performance they do want feedback on? I mean, if you're going to tell yourself the story, they don't want it, or said differently, I only want to have performance conversations that they're open to, ask them what they're open to. Make a note about what they say. A good time to ask, have these kind of conversations would be in your manager tools one-on-one, and look for opportunities to talk to them more about those things that they've already verbalized to you they want to hear more about. Even if that area of performance communication that they're interested in hearing about isn't aligned necessarily with what you would like to focus on, you can use this desire for or willingness to accept these pieces of feedback to socialize them into talking again about the performance more regularly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a ramp up. It's a, okay, let's have more of these conversations more often. Here's how we can do that about something you want to hear about.
Right. Essentially, everyone knows that they have room for improvement. There are parts, and there are some parts of our job where we believe that more to be true. Maybe it's something new they're doing. Maybe it's something that they're attempting a new process for that. Because they know that there are places where they could improve, asking them, hey, where would you be interested in hearing performance communication? They're likely to choose something where they feel they have room for improvement.
Yeah, totally.
And they're open to it because they know that to be the case, which is true of all of us. And this just allows us to, it's a little bit permissive of them to say, oh, and this area would be something that I'd like to hear about.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And it may be that you don't get a lot of chances to observe what they talk about, like whatever topic they choose, partially maybe because your directs are remote or hybrid. Okay, ask your directs to self-evaluate and talk to them about how they think they're doing. And again, simply normalizing the conversation. None of this needs at this point to be formulaic.
Right.
The idea is to make performance part of your regular conversations and increase your awareness of chances for feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Normalize, socialize performance communications so that we can improve team members' reception of performance
mm-hmm.
communications. Exactly. And therefore, feedback will feel less a stretch.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because it will be less a stretch.
Yeah, that will be by definition less a stretch.
Starting February 13th, we do have a effective manager conference virtual that you can sign up for on our website and attend. If you're not able to get to one of our in-person events, it might be that you would be able to take part in a virtual event or just that you might prefer a virtual event. And it is a public event, so you can come to our website, sign up for our virtual EMC, Effective Manager Conference, starting on September 13th, where you'll learn about the Manager Tools Trinity and how to implement that with your team in order to be more effective.
Kate, some managers are struggling because, I mean, I'm not sure they're open to it. We've helped you with that problem. You're welcome. And others struggle with determining what to give feedback about. So let's introduce the big four.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't know, it doesn't matter how comfortable we are with the feedback model or giving performance conversations or having those communications. If we don't know what to give feedback about, having the conversation is near impossible. We can't do anything if we don't know what to talk about. So most managers could probably, I would guess, count on a single hand the kinds of performance measures, metrics, things that matter within their organization. Most of us can come up with a handful of things that we're like, yeah, we need to do better at this. We need to do better at this. We need to make sure we're good at that. We need to do that. And we've been measuring feedback for decades. And while different managers focus on different areas generally, there is definitely a common set of behaviors that are most likely to be discussed by most managers and most organizations, in part because those are the behaviors that contribute to organizational success or the alternate organizational failure, and our inability to perform in these areas quickly becomes problematic.
Mm-hmm. And those are, I would suggest these are normal things that exist in organizations because organizations are made up of humans.
Yeah.
And if humans don't engage in these behaviors, areas of behavior and areas of performance, then organizations are not successful based on mm-hmm. that routine lack of demonstration and performance in these areas.
Yeah, exactly.
So there are four areas of performance that span virtually all directs and contribute most to success. They are work quality, timeliness, communication, and relationships, which we're going to expand upon each of these with the hope that thinking about these contributors to success will make it easier for you to hear and see more behaviors in your directs, specifically in these areas. So we'll start with quality of work.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, the most important performance behavior is achieving results. And unfortunately, there are two major problems with that. The first is that many teams, many managers don't have published, known, measured results. Managers and their teams are expected to do all kinds of things, but the key measures or metrics that they can use to validate their success are, in many cases, unfortunately, left undetermined. Now, most managers, knowing or at least accepting that not having team metrics is normal, don't really realize that having them has a hidden benefit.
I would say it differently. I would suggest that there's a hidden benefit in the fact that they're not published.
Oh, yes. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely it. Because if they're not published, we have the absolute ability as the individual manager to create our own team results and measures. If they're not given to you, create them.
Right.
Doors wide open.
No one else has done it for you. Okay.
Perfect.
Do you want to play a game where you don't know the scoring system and then blame the outcome on somebody else?
Right?
Or would you like to decide how
invent
to score the game? Right. Invent the game. Make up your own rules.
Right.
And then measure against them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you might say that you're measured, like the measurements they inflict upon you, that you're measured against, are things like productivity, utilization. And that's true. However, these measures are organization-wide. It's a big group. The organization wants to know these numbers, but they do not show in those numbers the results of your team relative to its mission.
Mm-hmm.
They only are measuring things that higher-level staff want to keep track of. HR. And as we've discussed before, like their purview is too big to be focused. Yeah. I mean, and so you can probably, if you think about it, you could probably come up with a lot of situations where a team's utilization numbers were really good. And because they aren't directly connected to work outputs like project milestones or completions or product deliveries, they're not useful measures for the manager and her team.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're not saying that they're not useful measures, though, right?
They're useful for somebody.
Exactly. That's the thing. For the organization, they certainly help human resource find, determine, suss out problem areas where staffing's too high, too low. They are good measures for someone somewhere. What we're saying is these organizational measures are not useful for you, the individual manager who's leading the individual team members.
Mm-hmm.
Those metrics are useful. They just don't apply. They just don't apply right now.
Right. You have to be very careful not to assume that organization-wide metrics or whatever they're required to submit on a weekly or monthly, whatever, recurring basis serve as an accurate measure of your team's output or represent your success against objectives.
Mm-hmm.
you have to be very careful of that because it is likely in many situations not the case. When it comes to results, many of us managers have hard work to do.
Mm-hmm.
The process for this work, determining your own goals, setting your own goals, we've touched on, and we're going to talk more about in coming casts. There's really two types of work here. There's team metrics and individual metrics.
Exactly. And when it comes to team metrics, some organizations have already done the work of defining many of their internal team's metrics. The simple, classic example of those metrics are sales teams. They all have a gross number, the total of individual salespeople's goals, that is their key metric. Now, you can say what you want about the sales force, but the nature of their work is so easy to measure. I mean, It is at number. And everyone in the organization should be so happy, delighted, in fact, to know that they're spending their time selling rather than trying to figure out how to measure whether or not they're successful at selling. It's easy.
And this example is not what's happening for most of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Most managers, they're not team metrics handed down by the organization outside of those organizational-wide metrics like utilization, productivity, et cetera. This doesn't mean, as many managers assume or hope, that team metrics are not needed. It instead means that a manager can get away with not having metrics for their team. And you might know a manager who is currently getting away with that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be a leader, though, we don't recommend you settle for what you can get away with.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe you're thinking, well, Kate, why would I poke the bear? Why create metrics that might be used against me when the organization hasn't seen fit to create those metrics? Which is okay. That's politically savvy. I would suggest perhaps, you know, if we know it to be the right thing to do, let's not try to push against it.
Exactly.
So there's that. But before we answer that question, this discussion is much like one which individual contributors make in their heads when they're thinking about performance reviews, which is if there's no quantifiable measures to which I'm compared, they can't fault me for not reaching the metric.
Exactly. And that's true. I mean, it's true insofar as it goes. The problem here is that it leaves us with a question we don't think about. If there are no objective measures, what will I actually be graded on?
That's my fear. It's like, oh,
I know
they're going to get mad at you for not reaching your metric
that I didn't know. I had no idea I had.
Yeah. And that would be true if people didn't get fired and laid off.
Exactly. That's the thing. And sadly, when we think about it for a minute, we realize the answer. Our completely subjective relationship with our boss. And we hate to say it because we don't like to be cynical, but it is true. This realization at some level is why there's so much sucking up to bosses in large organizations.
Because what else would you do?
Yeah. Because you think you're measured on whether or not your boss likes you.
Right. And this lesson carries over to teams, their managers, really, when there isn't measurement for the team's performance. Without objectives, without goals, without criteria that is objective, how will your team be evaluated? And the answer to that would be likely on some overly generic organizational metrics, which aren't based at all on individual performance and not in any way in tune with what your team does. And then at the end, of course, how much your boss likes you. I do think there's that whole sales thing also sometimes. There's like a lot of, does your boss, you know, sucking up to the boss
totally.
In that as well. And we're just going to go a step further and suggest that that's not leadership. That's not behaving like a leader to create a situation or continue to live in a situation, which was created by someone else perhaps, where part of what keeps people in their role is how much somebody likes them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's scary too.
It's so scary. It's so scary, especially, I mean, I've got to assume that 50% of the people listening to this podcast wouldn't really consider themselves people-focused persons. I mean, are you guys with me? I have a hard time convincing my friends to like me most days. Never mind my boss. Like, I mean, seriously, that is a terrifying world to live in. And there's a second area here after our team's objective results, the individual results of everyone on our team.
Mm-hmm.
Who else do we want doing this? Surely this is the work of a manager and
who
their
else is
direct
watching?
Reports. Exactly. Whether their directs are managers themselves or their individual contributors, it's ours to determine what those metrics are. No one else can do it. And again, we know it's hard work. I mean, this is a lot for us to do as, to Kate's point a moment ago, leaders in our organization, but it's necessary work. And we're here to help with that. We're going to give you some step-by-step guidance in this set of cast with some examples. That's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week for a continuation of this topic.